listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 8th, 2017. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And, of course, Michael Kelly helping us behind the scenes and in front of the scenes sometimes.
Good evening, everyone.
Good to have everybody with us. We appreciate you taking time to be with us this evening. And so we welcome those joining us live as well as those listening to the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which is a site that offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, which offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical science, spiritual counseling, holistic life coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, paranormal science, and many other areas. And Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees at tfuniversity.org. As is customary, I'd like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief. These are basically the principles of belief the church and school and everything we do is founded on. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. We recognize and honor, this is number 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And to read these in their full version, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. Now, I'd like to mention here right up at the outset that if you have a topic that you would like to have discussed tonight, or you have a question or anything, please type it in the chat room. That's, of course, aimed at those listening to this live who are in the chat room. But we'll take some time and discuss that. So be thinking about that. And what I'd like to do, I'm just going to pause for just a second. Some are saying that there's no audio, but I think most everybody's hearing the audio. And, of course, I would say to refresh your page, but they couldn't hear me. So it's being stated in the chat room there. Anyway, one of the things I like to do is I like to read the examples that I hear about paying it forward, doing right. And in our degree program, we in course one, the first course that students take, there's an exercise, a 7-day exercise. And every now and then we get some great responses. And we always get great responses, but some are very meaningful. And I think some serve as a great example and as to how we can do right. Because, you know, our first principle is do no harm, do right. And so this is a type of paying it forward. And with ICMH Church, in addition to the various works that we do in terms of doing no harm and doing right, paying it forward is the top of the list, you know, doing the right thing for others and ourselves too. So I'd like to share this example we got in today from a student who's doing a great job, and I believe she's listening tonight too. I won't mention her name, just keep it anonymous, but I really thought this was meaningful. So let me read it to you and we can glean some lessons from it. She writes, "Initially I struggled with what I would do for my 7-day exercise. I work in customer service 50 hours a week. I'm a mother of 4 amazing and talented young men, a wife, and a parent of 6 animals. So I feel I already do right most of the time, but I thought about how I could step it up a notch, go that extra mile. The first few days I did little things. Said good morning to everyone I passed by, smiled more, helped people with their work, but it still wasn't feeling like it was the one thing I was looking for. It didn't come to me until day 5. I was at work, and there was an elderly lady looking for a product and asked for my help. I didn't want her following me to look for it, as I may have to run the length of the place, and she wasn't fit for that. So I left her as I went to search. We did not have what she was looking for. I asked her what she needed it for, and she said that her granddaughter wanted to go out to dinner for her birthday, but she felt that they should cook. So she was trying to make something special. As we talked a bit, I learned that it was just her and her granddaughter that she raised after the parents were killed in an accident. The woman was small and frail. Her story tugged at my heart. I asked for her number. I told her I would try to get the product in. I knew I couldn't get the product, but I knew I wanted to get it from somewhere for her. I ended up ordering the product online. But then I also set up a nice dinner party here at my house and invited them over. I picked them both up, and together, the grandmother, granddaughter, and I made her recipe together. It was something special, a great evening. I will never forget it. This was an exercise that will stay with me forever. I didn't feel as though I was going out of my way or hurting myself by helping. It actually felt really good. I learned that even if you think you are always doing right and you do enough already, there are opportunities everywhere to do a little more without hurting yourself." That was an outstanding example. And that's just one example of how we can do the right thing, do right, go a little bit further. You know, that expression, and then some, which is actually one of the cards in our Oracle card deck, really can be meaningful to everybody involved. So that's one of the things we encourage our students to do. You know, most of our students are in the habit of doing right and doing the right thing. And so we encourage them to step it up a notch. So that's what I'll put out to you, too, listening to this program. Look for opportunities to do the right thing. Just look. They're everywhere. I don't remember if I mentioned this on the program previously. I may have, but I don't remember. But it's just a short little thing. You know, here in our neighborhood, a month or two ago, I was going down the store somewhere. Anyway, pull up to the main street to get out of our neighborhood, and there's always a bike or two. You know, they're chained to the stop sign for students. There's a bus stop right there. So and kids will leave their bikes there to get on the bus. And I noticed that one of the bikes, the seat was just horrible. I mean, it was just gone. It was shredded. It was, you could see the foam. It was completely shot. I happen to have a seat that I didn't use for bike. You know, in fact, I had more than one because I tried out different seats. And so, the next day I put the seat that I had was just brand new, and I put it in a bag with a little note, and I went and hung it on the bike and, gave it to the kid. And anyway, he called me and thanked me for it. Just out of the blue. I didn't need the seat. No, it was just something. And that's the kind of thing. And I could do better too. I try to look for those things. And that's the example that the student really demonstrated here, is to go a little bit of the extra mile. Because, you know, yeah, it was a nice thing to do for that grandma and her granddaughter, especially in light of the fact that the girl's parents had died in an accident, you know, the grandmother's daughter or son, one or the other. But the student is the one who will keep that treasure forever. And that's the same with us. When we do those things, we really benefit as well. So that's that. Any comments? Where am I? I was talking to myself.
I was just making a little comment in the chat, so you caught me right at that moment of typing. It was my overabundant multitasking at work here. You know, it's always little things in a day, as you're saying. So there's little things in a day that we can do. I know I had a pile of snow at the end of my driveway the other day, and I drove in, and it was from the grader that came by. And I went out yesterday, and lo and behold, somebody had cleaned it for me. I thought, wow, somebody did such a nice thing. And here I was expecting to go out and have to shovel my way out at the bottom of the driveway. But it's those little things, I tell you, sure made my day. And finding little ways in a day to pass that forward, it's just a feel-good kind of thing. I think we all need that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's let me just see.
We've got a couple of topics here. You know, Heather was asking about why people make stuff up.
Oh, we're going to go there, huh?
And let me go back and try to. Why are people manipulative and just can't be honest? And, you know, there's only one word for that, Heather: power. It's just simple. People want power, they want control. And they figure, I think a lot of people have learned how to not be direct, to not be, I don't know, they just find all kinds of strategies. And it's a dishonesty with the self more than it is with other people. So, I mean, it reflects more on them than it does you. How do you deal with that? Well, you know, there's, as Dr. Kelly would say, if it's a matter of preference, you yield. If a matter of principle or law, then you stand your ground. If this is somebody you're in a relationship with, well, I would say that you don't have an honest relationship. If somebody is manipulative and always being strategic that way, then Heather just made the comment, I'm not sure how to help them. You know, I don't know as you can. If you have the kind of relationship that you can say, look, I'd like to point this out to you, that there's no need to manipulate or strategize, and it's a power control thing, and we don't need to go there, then I think that's a good idea. I knew a fellow when I was in my early adulthood, and he was a compulsive liar. And I'll never forget this, because I just looked at him one day and I said, hey, Ken, you know, you lie all the time, hey? And he says, yeah, I know. I said, okay, well, how about this? When I see you start to do it, we'll just push the pause button, and I'll say, back up, do you want to try that again? And, oh, okay. And we did that. Every time we got together, had a coffee, he's otherwise a really nice guy. He just lived in Storyland. I say, oh, you want to start that story over again? Yeah, okay. But when it comes to daily manipulations and, you know, we could analyze this and give it a lot of different, you know, psychological explanations for it, but it just comes down to power and control. And Heather, you're saying, made a comment, you think it's from insecurities. Well, that's you trying to find a reasonable explanation. And I have done that myself. Because I'm filtering that behavior through my own psyche. But when you take it as an action for an action, then it takes a different color. In other words, don't try to understand it from your thought processing. Understand that the moment you understand a bad behavior, it means you're like that. What we need to do, I think, is just observe it and accept that that's the way somebody is. And if you can't have a reasonable conversation with them, then you just stop. Now, Heather's made another comment. I feel the more people are in touch with themselves, their true selves, they won't feel the need to manipulate. And that may well be true. I think you're absolutely right. But that's their deal. That's not your deal. It's not my deal. You can't make somebody get in touch with who they are. All we can do is be catalysts for change. We can set an example. We can, you know, channel our best behavior and respond accordingly. I'm one who says if people really think that they're getting away with something, then have at her. You know, I have a choice about how I'm going to respond to that. And that's where each of us takes on that responsibility. So don't respond to manipulations in that way or, you know, and again, it depends who it is, right? I mean, if this is somebody who's a family member or a best friend or just a casual coworker or, you know, every situation is different, but it's, you try to do your best, just be honest as best as you can and, you know that you can't fix people. That's just as simple as that. Dr. Kelly?
I agree with everything you said. You know, it's not our job to go around trying to change people. Obviously, that's what we teach in the program. And there's not a lot you can do. In fact, you know, to get people to be aware, that's why we do what we're doing. This program, the school, it helps people to raise their awareness. That's the point. People are that way because they lack awareness. And frankly, this kind of segues quite nicely into Zach's question about can you make some comments about apathy, causes, remedies, tools to combat. You know, people are apathetic. It's not a good place to be, but some people just are. What are you going to do? You know, you can – the only thing we can do, as Dr. Hunter said, is we can set an example. We can have a positive impact on those within our sphere of influence. However, if people don't want to observe our example or take the lesson of our example, then again, it's their stuff, not our stuff. There's nothing we can do or anything we want to do because it's not our job to change people. You know, we cannot change people. We cannot control people. We need to stop trying. All you can hope to do is set a good example and have a positive impact.
Well, I think that the point of how we interact with it, I back up here. I have a bit of a cold, so my brain is a little bit, you know, that one little foggy brain cell doing the, doing the bouncing ball in my head, is that people have to be interested and have a desire to want to change. And if they don't have that, if they don't think they need to change, if they're not aware and they just don't care about changing. So that's what I mean. If we assume everybody wants to become better, and that's just not true. Everyone is on their own path in their own way. Now, this, of course, leads into Zach's next question, is apathy a personal problem? I think we have to define what kind of apathy, you know, we're talking about. Apathy is always a personal problem, but is it really a problem? If apathy really puts that negative on something, I think somebody who is manipulative, like Heather's referring to, they're naturally going to have an apathy to other people's problems. I think that kind of goes hand in hand. If it's an apathy to politics, an apathy to religion, I think that those are its own things. So there's varying degrees and various applications of what we can define as an apathy. But the only way people become interested, and hear me clearly, is when something directly affects them. When somebody is directly affected by any kind of an issue, the apathy dissolves. Yeah, now they're involved. You can't make somebody sympathetic, empathetic, or in any way considerate of someone who has cancer if they have not had cancer. You know, you can say, oh, that's too bad. But there's a kind of a feeling of apathy in there unless you've had cancer. See, there's a disconnect. You can only imagine what it is. But again, if you're connected with people, you can imagine what that is. If you've never been touched by, you know, certain issues in the world, you just don't feel anything for them. There's a total disconnect, and that is apathy. Now, not to be, again, you know, confused with things that are not our business, which can seem like apathy if I don't get a feeling from you that I really need, I'm going to feel like you're apathetic when really you're just trying to respect space. Or, you know, it goes on and on. So it's, you know, Heather's writing, I think when you're empathetic or highly sensitive, it's hard not to let apathy and apathetic or manipulative people to bring you down. Heather, then that's your problem. And I mean, no disrespect. You choose how you want to interact. If I'm in a room full of negative people, I have to remove myself from that room. If I have friends who tend to be, you know, manipulative and, you know, always whatever they are, then I have to look at what that is. You know, I have to say, well, this isn't working for me anymore. But again, we're all evolving, you see, and that the changes very often your circles of friends will change. I know it's hard to let, you know, with families, you don't chase families, but you can distinguish how much your interaction is going to be there. How much do you want to interact with them? So it's always these little decisions that we make in our life. So I hope that, you know, hope I'm making sense there, that it helps.
That's, you know, this is actually a good point that she raises, because we, part of a healthy self-concept and healthy energy signature and self-esteem is internal expectations and validation and knowing who we are and why we are who we are, and basically not allowing ourselves to be affected by the attitudes, apathy, whatever, manipulation of others. Basically, we're self-possessed. We power ourselves. We don't rely on other people, you know, to affect us or to determine whether we're feeling good or up, down or up or whatever. It's an internal thing. You know, we have to work on that. We have to hone that. It's a skill. It's something we learn to do. And, you know, it can be hard sometimes if you've got people close to you and they're down. Well, it can be hard not to show some sympathy or empathy.
Yeah.
And allow your feelings to get down too, but we have to protect ourselves too. We have to understand that we're on our path, they're on their path. We have our lessons, they have their lessons. Sometimes our lessons have adversity in them and are tough to deal with, and sometimes we're doing good and there is no adversity, and the same is true with everybody. And so we can empathize or sympathize with them, depending on as the case may be, and yet not allow it to affect our overall disposition or attitude.
Well, I think that I do appreciate what Heather's saying about being in a, you know, around a lot of people and they can bring you down. And I do understand, we've all been there. People can feel like they're vampires and they can suck the life out of you for a moment. Mm-hmm. But you have to find ways to regenerate yourself and get back to who you are. It's like, who am I? And get back to my own energy. You know, a lot of people work in workplaces that are really negative and they're just not, like, this isn't a fun place to be. You have to be able to take a mindset that you're there to do a job. And not to take it, as you say, personally. And yes, there can be a lot of, you know, inner politics. There can be a lot of nitpicking and power plays and all that kind of stuff. I always say, know your place and do your job. Just know your place. See, the thing is, if we're wanting to be recognized, if we're wanting to be a part of a group and they're all negative, we've made our first mistake. Because we, you know, why do you want to be a part of a group and, you know, be liked by a whole bunch of people that you don't even like yourself? And those are little questions to ask. I've done that along the way, through my evolution, to say, why do I need approval from somebody I don't even like? You know, that's a huge question. So it's just then check back in with yourself. And those are the questions I ask myself when I'm, you know, in dilemma with certain folks along the way. But I grow as a result of that. So then I know that this is my problem, not their problem. I can't change those people. If I can be an example, if I can somehow bring a little bit of light to the day, that's, I figure I've done my job because that's my part. So, you know, just, but it, again, it's a journey. It's a journey.
Let's talk too about those who have psychic abilities or empathic abilities. I know we've talked about this in recent programs. You cannot be open for business 24/7. You know, and that's how you have to look at it with your abilities. You can't always be on. You have to determine when you'll be available for those abilities and when you're not. And it's basically a mental thing. You say, I'm closed for business right now. I'm not going to get into the empathic stuff to such a degree or the psychic stuff to such a degree. You know, I'm closed for business right now. I'll be open later. You have to, those are kind of visualizations almost that you have to use and pathways to use to manage your own. So it's, you know, it's, you can't let the tail wag the dog, so to speak. You manage your abilities. You determine when you're on and when you're off, when you're open, when you're closed for business, so to speak. And that's just a matter of self-discipline and figuring out what switch works for you.
Zach just asked the question, how do you turn off? Zach, I usually think about muffins or baking a cake or, you know, I think about other things because that's how, if I'm managing my own thinking and that energy. And there's lots of ways. We have talked about that in past shows, but just, you know, put up a little barrier and tune out.
Well, it's a matter of, it's very simple in concept, and you can play with it and figure out which works for you. But the concept is you say, I'm closed, and you change the channel of your thinking. It's like if you're watching TV and you're watching a really bad movie or an emotionally difficult movie, whatever, you're horrified at it, whatever. If you don't shut the TV off, because what are you going to think about? You're going to think about what you just were watching. Instead, you change the channel. You watch something different. And so in your mind, if you're getting bogged down by this and it's time to turn it off, you say, okay, I'm turning it off. And now you switch to something else, thinking about something else such as muffins or whatever works for you.
Well, and I think, you know, you've kind of intimated a really important point there too. Each one of us has our own levels of coping. It depends on your nature. And this, I think, then goes even further than just being an empath or empathetic. I think it's also in our nature. You know, some of us are more warrior-like. Other people are, you know, softer. You know, and it depends on your nature, what kind of character you are. So you have to determine for yourself, you know, what your level of absorption is, I suppose, or, you know, at what your limits are and set those boundaries. I happen to be somebody who can take a lot of pressure, you know, and although as I get older, I don't multitask nearly as well as I used to. I'm usually tired by the time I think about what I need to do, let alone go to do it. But that's all part and parcel of as we, you know, we get older and we change. But I can cope with more pressure and stress, I think, than the average individual. But it's also in my nature. Other people I find more sensitive and their coping skills aren't quite, you know, to somebody else's, or they're at, you know, man, they've just been through a really hard time and how much more can they cope with? And I think we've all been that, but we all have our own degrees of being able to cope. So you have to bring yourself along to the best that you can, knowing what that is. You know, thankfully, you know, some of the people in my life and my children too, is they say, no, I can't cope with anymore today. Of course, I raise my eyebrows thinking, geez, it's only 9 o'clock. <You know>? And, but that's, you know, but at least they can express that. You know, it's like being able to say, I can't cope with this right now. I can't take this right now. And I think that that's fair in your friendships, relationships, and people you're close to. Don't be afraid to say, I'm at a saturation point. I need to take 5 minutes, like, to take a breath and digest this, and I'll be right back. That's fair. When people are demanding things of you and demanding responses right now, or that's when, yeah, they know and draw your boundaries. So whether it's just energy or it's an actual dialogue, you know, you have to be able to say what's good for me.
All right. Let's switch to our inner oracle card reading portion of the program. If you'd like a reading from our inner oracle card deck, a card pulled, please put your name in the chat room and we'll start reading those in a minute. Our inner oracle cards are simply self-discovery cards. They're a deck of 54 cards, and they basically have face value, a saying on them, and then a guidebook with a paragraph of description. And it's designed to get you thinking. It's designed for self-discovery, self-improvement, and it can make a huge difference. It covers pretty much a gamut of everything we teach. And so we'll go ahead and we'll bring Michael into this, and it looks like we have one we can start with.
I'd like to just inject, if I may, Fran has just made a comment in the chat, as I get older, things don't seem as dramatic. That is so relevant to talk about. It's the things that were important to me in my 20s were not as important as they, you know, as some things in my 30s. Then you're in your 40s, 50s, and now 60s. It's like I look back and say, don't sweat the small stuff. You know, when you're raising kids and you're all over it, and the things that are really important to you and your kids' behavior and this behavior and those things and what they wear. And here I'm grandma, and I say, I don't care. Like, that is such small stuff. It's small stuff. Little things, they're just not that important anymore. And so that, as you're saying, friend, it's not as dramatic, because what is important to us in our 30s is different than our 60s. You know, when you're a teenager, how important things are. But you hit 35 and, you know, it's different. So age has a lot to do with it. Biology has a lot to do with it. Your emotional maturity. And, again, what you feel is important. So just know, I would say, don't sweat the small stuff. But when you're in the small stuff and that's really big, it's like kind of you think somebody's being condescending or patronizing. And that's not it at all. It's like in the big scheme of stuff, that's small. So keeping perspective, I think, is important. So cards, I think Fran is first. Do I have that right there, Michael?
Absolutely.
I'll grab here. I got, you won't believe this, sympathy and empathy. I just grabbed that.
Funny.
So that's number 32. I find that interesting. We were just talking about it. It kind of happens that way. Whatever's in the cosmos, in the air here. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind of kind act of paying it forward. Sympathy, which is sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of doubt until there's no longer a reason to do so. So this is just distinguishing the difference between sympathy and empathy. And just to expand on that a little bit, I always think of sympathy sometimes doesn't always know what to do. It's a sensitivity. But empathy relates to another, somebody else's, experiences or their plight. So just to explore, which is it, and go from there. So I hope that makes sense to you at this point.
Hey, Michael, did you also pull a card for Fran by chance?
I did pull one out, actually, yeah.
Oh,
why don't you go ahead and read it.
There's an intuitive moment.
The card I pulled was actually Power of Belief.
Might as well read it.
Yep.
All right. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy. Proceed with conviction.
You never know. So, yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next.
You want to grab one for Heather there, Michael?
Oh, I'd be happy to. And let's see. I have number 38, open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions.
Good one. It's a good one. So, Fran, so we have Fran, Heather, now Jenny. Well, you got your cards right there, so go ahead, Michael. This one's for Jenny.
All right. And Jenny, I pulled number 7, self-mastery.
Good one.
I don't know if we pulled that one in a while. Self-mastery. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness.
Yeah, how apropos is that? I mean, we were just talking about that in terms of not letting others affect us.
Yeah, I like it.
Good one.
Yeah, perfect.
I'll grab one here for Wendy. Deliberate intent. That's a pretty powerful message there for you. A little flipping the pages of my little book here. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience. I think that's a really important point there at the end. You know, we very often focus on something because of the lack of something else. So we have to really be clear in our intent, in our thinking, not based on any kind of fear or lack, but just, you know, projecting that thought forward. So I see that Zach would also like a card, and I'm going to go third from the right. And people who haven't been with us before, this is a little thing that Zach would either go third from the left or third from the right in the past. So I just did third from the right, Zach, and you got number 42, which is trust and integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
Yep.
I think that
being true to yourself.
That's a big one. So remain steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself. Now, that's a message to everybody. Mm-hmm. But Zach, hang in there. That's the saying. Move forward and hang in there.
And it goes right along with what we've been talking about tonight is maintain your own integrity to who you are and how you'll behave. Nobody is more deserving of our best behavior than us. So we have to be who we are regardless of what's going on around us or what attitudes or behaviors people are exhibiting around us. We are a self-contained unit, self-possessed. We strive for that. That's being complete within yourself. That means you know who you are, why you are who you are, and you don't let other things affect you adversely. Now, look, nobody does this 100% all the time, okay? It's part of being human. We just have to work at it. We have to, by and large, just be us and remain true to ourselves. And if that means that we lose a relationship, then that's what it means, because we value the relationship, our own dignity, our own self-respect, our integrity over and above everyone else. We have to do that.
So, Michael, how about you pick one there for Melissa next on our list?
Oh, I'd be happy to. All right, Melissa. All right, poll number 27, gains. That's another one, actually, I haven't really seen in a while.
Nope.
All right. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains.
Hmm.
That was a good one.
Sounds promising. Something promising there.
That's a big lesson in life, or a big nugget in life. You know, you want something, you got to ask, what are you willing to trade for that? And as Dr. Hunter likes to say, you might end up trading up. Well, and that's obviously the idea, is to trade up. But whether it's a goal, whether it's a problem we want to solve, what are we going to trade for that? You know, we have to trade something for it, whether it's time and energy or money. You know, you go to the store, you buy groceries. What do you trade for that? You trade money and or other products. So just a great point to bear in mind.
Heather just made a comment that she heard a quote once, be yourself because everyone else is taken. I love that.
Yeah, good quote.
You know, we've had these discussions in the past, and my thing is, be more interested in yourself than you are other people. And I know that's difficult because, you know, as we go through life, we're always curious or looking at other people, and we do measure ourselves by that to some degree. But it's really, no one should be more interesting to you than you are to yourself. Now, that might sound narcissistic, and it's not meant to be. I'm always fascinated by, how did I come up with that? Where did that thought come from? Like, whoa, what made me do that? Or, geez, how come I tried to put the milk in the cupboard? Or, you know, silly little things. You know, like, that's interesting when I do that. You know, it's like, oh, and, you know, how I observed certain things about people or life or, you know, but that's also about being present and being interested in your own thinking. It's like how you did that, interested in how you feel, interested in you know, your health and well-being and your, you know, your overall happiness. I think that if we don't put ourselves first in that way, we're always reaching outside the self for something that makes us feel good, when then it puts the interest out there more than in here. So it's like living from the inside out, not the outside in, if that makes sense. So it's not selfish to be interested in yourself. It's healthy.
Right. So just not to the exclusion of everyone else. That's narcissism, you know.
Well, that's what I mean. It's not meant to be that way. It's be interested in yourself. That's all.
Yep. I agree, because most people end up comparing themselves with other people, and it's always in less favorable light. You know, people compare themselves, well, saying, I'm not as good as them, or I don't do it as good as them. And often we don't acknowledge the things that we are good at or that we do better than most. everybody's different, so it just goes back into, you know, not comparing yourself. So I think we've got everyone who had requested a card, and it's about time to wrap things up, so we'll do that now. Tonight we talked about the Pay It Forward example, which was a heartwarming and an excellent example to everybody. We talked about dealing with apathy, manipulation, managing psychic and empathic abilities. We talked about sympathy and empathy, power of belief, open-mindedness, self-mastery, deliberate intent, trust and integrity, and games, of course. So we, and there were some great questions in the chat room. I really appreciate those. And so if you've got questions, you know, bear those in mind, and next week put them in the chat room and we'll talk about those too. We really appreciate everyone's time tonight, those listening live, those listening to the archive. We appreciate Dr. Hunter and all your insights, as well as Michael and your contributions. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.